I thought it would be intriguing to speak about a sugya. It's a sugya which is a very, very fundamental one in the world of Ba'alei Machshava. It's a very yesodistic and very, very important topic. It's one that is relevant in a very broad way as far as many, many Ma'amari Chazal. It's relevant in that sense. It's relevant because it has, I think, massive implications as far as how a person lives their lives and relates to this world. We're speaking very broadly about a question in terms of the Torah's expectations and relative... or in response, or in regarding, our enjoyment of Olam Hazeh. To what extent are we supposed to sort of engage in and benefit from all of the things that are offered in this world? To what extent are we supposed to remove ourselves from all of the wonderful things that are offered in this world? In many ways, to frame the issue, I'll try to do two things. To frame the issue, we're going to focus on one sugya Maseches Tainis, in truth, to sort of break it down a little bit. But Rav Dessler... quote in Chelek Dalet of Mechtav Melio, a variety of Marmari Chazal that sort of highlight the tension that exists in terms of our relationship to this world, and more importantly, towards the pleasures of this world. Matzanu says of Dessler in Chelek Dalet, page 168, Shanazir Nikra Kadosh. One day in Chazal, the Nazir is called someone who's holy. He's holy. He refrains from drinking wine. He refrains from certain this worldly pleasures. But he's also called a chote, one day in Chazal, asher tzir atzom in hayayin. So Nazir is both kadosh and he's a sinner. He's kadosh for removing himself from this world. He's a sinner for removing himself from enjoying this world. Vishuv, Shein Tanit B'leyo, ad sha'adam yispalosh yikanesh Torah l'soch gufo, yispalosh lo yikantu ma'adonim l'soch gufo. A very powerful line in Tanit B'leyo. Before a person davens that Torah shall go into your body, first daven that certain kinds of ma'adanim, which is an amazing thing to therefore name a store, you know, ma'adane something, should go into your body. We should daven that those things never go into our body at all. That is Tanu de Be'elio. We don't want to have certain kinds of delights and pleasure in our body. At the same time, the Yerushalmi Kedushin tells us, Asid Adam Litain Din V'cheshbon Al Kol Masha Rasa Eino V'lo Achal Mimenu. This is like the, this has plastered up in certain, you know, programs. That, that asid atam lidin v'cheshbon, that you're going to be judged eventually at the end of days for anything that your eyes saw that you did not eat. Yeah, get that up there in like the 24-hour tea room. Like this is definitely it. And the Gemara in Ksubis and Daf Kedalet, Rebbe Nishba, Rebbe took a shvua shlo nehene meha olam afilu be'et b'ktana. Rebbe took a shvua, he didn't get any benefit from this world, even a very, very small amount. But the Gemara in Gittin talks about Tzudas Chasher Nascha Mimena Mashal Yadcha Himena V'Avapichin V'Aretz Nasan Liv Nei Adam La'achar HaBracha. We're told in the Gemara Maseches Brachos and Daf Lamed Hey that after you make a bracha, so that it becomes yours and you're allowed to partake in it. In that sense, we find even within Chazal two very, very different views. We know other Ma'amari Chazal that are also relevant to this. The fact that Rav Pinchas ben Yair's Sulam, as described in the Gemara, Masechet Avodah Zarah, that all of Mesillas Sharm is based on, so there's a midah called Precious. There's a midah called removing or abstaining from certain pleasures in this world. We know discussions in a variety of Rishonim that are relevant to this. How a person relates to the sugya of Basar Taiva. How you relate to the sugya of eating meat just because you enjoy meat. So Rav Sadia Gaon has a bit of a well-known shita. Maybe he holds it's like a mitzvah to eat it. That's like also, you can get that up there on that list of Mikoros. But Lav Dafka holds that way. What that means is not so clear. And there are others who express stronger views in terms of a degree of removal from this world. This is a major, major sugya. It's a major sugya discussed by Ba'alei Machshava. Years ago we spoke about it in the thought of the Ramban, the thought of the Ramchal, different perspectives. What I want to really try to do is to focus on it through the lens of a sugya in Maseches Tainis on Daf Yud Aleph. The sugya there is a very, very important sugya. We'll see a little bit, I'll figure out how much time we have. We'll definitely see Rav Dessler, but I would like us to see a little bit of Rambam, a little bit of Meiri, a little bit of Rav Dessler. There's a Shla that's very, very intriguing. There's a lot of Torah, even Halach Lemaisa and Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Brura. The question is going to be as follows. How does a person relate to fasting? Fasting is not the most popular thing nowadays other than pre-established fast days, days mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. But how does a person relate to fasting? So Amar Shmuel, the Gemara here seems to quote a machlokas. Shmuel says, Kol ha-yoshev b'tainis nikra chote. Shmuel says anybody that sits and says, today I'm going to fast, that person is a sinner. Bring a raya from the Shita of Lazar Kfar, that Shita of Rabbi Lazar, that the reason why a Nazir is called a Chote is because he's Tir Atzam and Ayayin. So Gemara says, Kal v'chomer, if I'm a Chote for not having wine, Achas Kam v'kama, you're a Chote for being a person who fasts. If you fast, you're considered to be a sinner. The Gemara then says, I hear it's a Shita of Shmuel, but I'm not sure that that is the Shita of all dayas. The Gemara says, as an example, of Rabbi Lazar himself, that Rabbi Lazar, not Rabbi Kfar, but there, but Rabbi Lazar himself understands, no, a person who sins is not Nikra Chote, a person who sins is called Kadosh. If you sin, that's bad. A person who fasts, it's been a long day, a person who fasts is called Kadosh, you're considered to be holy. Kal v'chomer from Nazir. If I think that Nazir is holy for doing that, he's called Kadosh. So Kal v'chomer, I'm called Kadosh if I go. I'm called Kadosh if I fast. The Gemara has certain kinds of middle approaches here going on. Maybe there's a distinction between whether I can handle the fast well or if I can't handle the fast well. But the Gemara seems to have a bit of a machlokas here. Two very, very sodistic opinions. Am I considered to be a person who's a chote if I fast, or am I not considered to be a person who's a chote if I fast? Okay. One could envision two different realities. A reality, you have this like tzaddikal person sometimes. And the tzaddik, what makes him so holy? So he's a person who doesn't, he's a person who doesn't eat a lot. He's a person who likes to sit and fast. We think sometimes, again, associated at least in my mind, a certain anashim kedoshim, is they fast every Yom Kippur Katan, they fast before every Rosh Chodesh. People that fast on Bahav days, people that fast in certain kinds of opportunities. There's a certain kedusha there. The kibbutz here in the yeshiva has Yom Kippur Katan Mincha. I think the rub of the kibbutz of Mertzvach, and I think they have a minion of people who fast. They have a regular time, at least they used to. I assume they still do. They have a Yom Kippur Katan Mincha. They take it, and that's one kind of a mahalach. Many of us know of Minhagim in Shulchan Aruch to fast, and Erev Hashanah, Minhagim in Shulchan Aruch, that some have to fast throughout Aseres Yimei Tshuva, not including Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. That there's a certain kind of orientation which is there, and there are others who don't have that mahalach. There are others who are not there, who are consuming and eating, you know, presumably regular and normal food. There tends to get more press about those rabbanim who fast. We don't normally have as much evidence of what the other people are eating in their daily schedule, although we do have a bit. But okay, we have a bit of a shaila here. There are, I believe, I'd love to talk about, I guess, three or four mahalchim in this sugya, and it's very much indicative of, and it says a lot about how a person relates to this world. We're going to see a shita of Rambam. We'll see a couple of Rambams. We'll see a shita of the Shlach HaKadosh. And then we'll see Tosfos and what Rav Dessler does with Tosfos, which I think is interesting. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos in Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph is a very, very famous Rambam, where the Rambam says people naturally may go to certain extremes. Shema Yomar HaAdam, once I know that Kina Taif and Kavod or Motzi Adam in HaOlam, once I know that there are certain midos that remove a person from this world, so I would think Efrosh Mehen Biyoser V'Esrachik Letzad HaAcharon. Maybe I should think that I should remove myself and I should, you know, go for no Kavod ever, I should go for no Kina ever, no Taif ever. Maybe I would say, so yochal basar, I should never have meat. V'lo yishta yayin, and I'll never drink wine. V'lo yisa isha, and I'll never get married. V'lo yeshev bedira na'a, and I won't live in a nice place. V'lo yilbash malbash na'a, and I won't wear nice clothing. Ella, I'll wear clothing which is, you know, very much unbecoming. Gam ze derech ra'ahi v'asar leilech ba. That, by the way, is a fascinating thing. Gamza Derech Rahi was one thing. The Asr Leilechba is certainly something a little bit more intense. He's not talking about a person who can't afford nicer clothing or nicer place, but he's saying someone who does it, l'shem, just wanting to go to the extreme, away from kavod and away from taiva and those things, that's not appropriate. Apparently a person is supposed to eat meat. And apparently there is a place for drinking wine. And apparently a person is expected to get married. And apparently it's okay to live in a nice place. And apparently it's okay to wear nice clothing. It's all considered to be, it has a place. Rav Hendler used to say, Rav Hendler was the Ram here for many, many years, he's got a Rosh Hashiva, now he's Rosh Hashiva of place in Ramla. So Rav Handel used to say, when Americans were embarrassed when they would make Aliyah or come from America, and they would bring all of their nice things with them, you know, it feels uncomfortable. So he would often say, like, you're no better than, you don't have to be any better than Avram Avinu. Avram came from Chutz La'aretz with Rechush Gadol, the Torah tells us, so you also come from Chutz La'aretz with Rechush Gadol. Like, you don't have to be embarrassed if you like a little bit of basar and a little bit of yayin. If a person wants to be married, if a person, it's an amazing thing to have that word marriage in there also, because marriage is just a rabbam, is that marriage is a mitzvah deraisa. So he's in that list, is there, along with the other things. It's a fascinating, fascinating Rambam. Not only Asalei, but V'hamahalich b'derech zeh, Nikra Chote. And a person that says, I'm not interested in these things, is a sinner. He's like a Nazir, etc. But then he has his Lefichach, and Lefichach in Rambam is always a very loaded word. Lefichach, therefore. I actually didn't need a therefore, you already said your point. No? You already given it to me. What's the therefore what? Therefore, Tzivu Chachamim, so yimna adam atzmo ela midvarim shmina aso haTorah bilvad. Therefore, the Chachamim said, you should only prevent yourself from having things the Torah says you can't have. Parentheses is almost like the anti-Navel Bersha Torah Ramban kind of an idea. You should only remove, only don't take the things that you're like, I don't know if I just had that, I don't know if it's so good. And it's like, is it aser? No, I think you can have it. It's an amazing thing. V'lo yehi oser atzo b'nedarim v'shvuos al dvarim hamutarim. It would be inappropriate for a person to aser themselves. Dvarim hamutarim. Nedarim, the Rambam here expresses somewhat of a hesitant relationship towards the darim, not the mesechta. Kach amru chachamim. Lo dayecha masha aser Torah, ela shata oser alecha dvarim achirim. Chachamim said, it isn't enough what the Torah asered. You got to make up all of your other isurim. Like the Torah asered it. That's good enough. That's good enough. Uvichlal zeh eilu shemis'an and tamid eino b'derech tovas. Also, if a person often fasts or always fasts, it's also not good. V'yasru achamim she'yadam misagif atu b'tainis. Achamim say, you shouldn't cause yourself pain with the tainis. V'chul answer shlomo says, al te tzadik harbe. Don't be too much of a tzadik. We can envision a lot of people having a lot of riding on this Rambam. This Rambam seems to be wonderful, depending on your leaning towards Olam Hazeh. It seems to be all good. I think it actually is all good. The Rambam seems to be passing like a day in Chazal. He knows about the machlokes. And the Rambam seems to be passing like a day in Chazal. That in many ways, it is all good and appropriate to engage in that which the Torah does not aser. To be able to not go all the extreme of taiva, kavod, etc. But to engage in some sort of, in eating some meat and drinking some wine and being married and things like that. The Rambam thinks that's totally, totally appropriate. There is another Rambam which adds an element of a wrinkle, which is a Rambam the end of Hilchos Naziris. Naziris, in many ways, is like a neder, although mixed messages, what kind of neder it really is considered to be like, if it's more of like a Nidrei Isser, Nidrei Hektish, if it's more of a din in the Gavra, or the Chetza, or the Chalos, that then the Mela impacts that, Shuvat Nemiluim, and it's Mishonim. But says Rambam as follows, Hilchos Naziris. Ha'omer v'ni Nazirim esek hafakach. So I would have thought, therefore, that what would the Rambam say about being a Nazir? I would have thought the Rambam would say that being a Nazir is certainly a bad thing. It's a chote, and embrace that all the way. But the Rambam doesn't really say that. He says, if you just stam do it, ha'reze rasha, v'naziris kazom, naziris rishayim hu. The person becomes a Nazir just for kicks, so that person's a rasha, that's totally not appropriate. Aval, ha'noder l'ashem derech kedusha, ha'reze na'e u'meshubach. If a person is a Nazir, derech kedusha, that has a lot of value, that has a place. The Karen Ora maintains that according to Rambam, it's somewhat more nuanced when you read Rambam closely, especially in light of Hilchos Naziris, but a bit in Hilchos Deos also. The Rambam is not saying a full embrace of materialism. He's not saying a full embrace of the world of Gashmias. He begins by saying, Shema Yomer Adam, because Kinatayv and Kavod, he references the Mishnah of Kinatayv and Kavod and Moti Adam in Ha'olam. But when the Rambam has a very important line, says the Karen Ora there in Maseches Tainis, it says as follows, Tzivu Hachamim, Uvichlau Zeh Eilu Shemis'an and Tamid, Eino Bederech Tova. Says the Karen Ora, there's a lot of mixed messages in Chazal. I think the Rambam is okay with one thing and hesitant about something else. The Rambam is okay with a person that does not fully embrace materialism. The Rambam is okay with a person that is not totally, totally consumed with God. He's not saying that's a problem. The Rambam thinks there's a place for fasting. He thinks the problem is those who are misanin, tamid. Those who engage in it with a degree of frequency that he considers to be not so appropriate. But if a person would take a step back and they would say, I'm somewhere in the middle. I do have some meat and I do drink some wine. I am a person that engages in a variety of activities. And once in a while, he's Yosef Betainis, Litzorech Tshuva, Al Ezechet O Ezetzara. He comes along and he says, Zetzara and Klal Yisrael. Zetzara, because it's Zetzara and Klal, so we're going to have a fast day. The Rambam is good with that. The Rambam Hilchos Taanio speaks about fast days as a response to pain and calamity in our nation. The Rambam understands it exists. He's more opposed to it being a consistent mahalach. A person messes up and sins once in a while and fasts once in a while for tshuva, for day. Rambam says, I'm all good with that. He's opposed to that being the dominant mahalach in a person's life. The Rambam embraces a view which says, no, which says, I want to take things in moderation, but I definitely also want to take things. I want to engage and benefit from this world. The Rambam, therefore, has a more embracing approach, although does understand that there's room for some of the fasting, etc. What the Rambam hasn't done, really, is explain to us what is the motivation behind this approach. It seems like, in the context of Hilchos Deos here, that the motivation for Rambam is a general hesitation towards embracing extremes. That what seems to be what bothers Rambam is the Rambam is very nervous, other than with one or two possible midos, of a person coming along and being an extremist, of going too far in one side and too far in the other. That Alti Tzadik Harbe, as Shlomo HaMelech Rambam quotes here, taught us that he's nervous of those who go to extremes. He finds it unhealthy and unbalanced. He thinks it is not what we are intended to do. That the middle of the road, kind of a mahalach embraced by Rambam, leads to a middle of the road in almost all areas. In almost all areas, that means that a person, as far as their midos, is going to be somewhere in the middle. The Rambam finds that, at least as far as midos goes, that the middle of the road is an appropriate place and one that definitely makes a lot of sense. That's the Rambam's, I think, general orientation. Not all by Rambam at all on this. The Kutzker Rebbe very famously rejected Rambam's middle of the road approach, as he, I think, quipped. The middle of the road is a wonderful place for horses, just not for humans. Horses, when they go on the street, they just go in the middle of the road. But we're not going for that. We're going, if it's extreme, maybe we'll go for it. Whatever's MS is going to be where it's going to lead me to go. And if people think I'm crazy, so maybe they think I'm crazy, but I'm still going to go to an extreme. I'm still going to do whatever I can. It's still going to be there in many ways. That is Rambam Shita. Again, there's a lot of different views about this. There's a wide range. The Shlach HaKadosh was one of the great Mikubalim in, I think, Italy. Shai Levi Horowitz. That's in the past. My father and his kids growing up in Connecticut. There was a Horowitz family. My father would always point out to us that they were direct descendants, Ben HaChaben, of the Shlach HaKadosh. Many Horowitzes are. Shlach was a really, really major figure with some wonderful Svarim. He's in the list of people, it's not that long, that get a HaKadosh at the end of their name. You know, the Shlach HaKadosh, the Alshech HaKadosh, the Orachayim HaKadosh, there are those, the Yid HaKadosh, some get it and many don't. I think the Yid HaKadosh himself, one of the great Chassidish rabbis, would refer to when he would learn to, like, Tanana Amaram as Kadoshim also. Abaya HaKadosh says this, and Hillel HaKadosh says that. We actually usually use the word HaKadosh if it's a person, I believe, who passed away, Al Kiddush Hashem. Or sometimes we use the word HaKadosh when it's people that are perceived as being these real holy kinds of people. So the Shlach HaKadosh in Parshas Naso, unsurprising Parshas Naso, it's a sugya of Naziras. The Shlach HaKadosh there has a lot of things. He says, you know, V'yan, ki rabim smechim l'nafshim v'omrim, shom alecha nafshi. You have a lot of people that are like, it's all good. It's all good. V'ena misakfim es atzmam. They don't cause pain to their bodies. They quote the Shita of Rabbi Lazar HaKfar that we know, that a Nazir is called a Chote because he's not engaging in this world. Because of this, they die dirty in sin. So anyone wondering where the Shlach HaKadosh falls out on this, he's pretty good at expressing his thoughts. I think I need to explain things a little bit so people can do tshuva. I think I have to be able to do that. He quotes the Tosfos, we'll see in a little bit. He says, "Ani Omer be'ema be'yir be'resas uvezeyah," a reference to Gemara Maseches Brachos L'chaf Beis about Maamar Har Sinai. I say with a lot of awe, a lot of hesitation. Neged kvod haTosfos gidevreim dechukim be'inyan hazeh. I don't buy what they're saying at all. Ach nira be'enai. He says it's pushed to me a couple of things. One, Af Shmuel Moedeh, even Shmuel, the one that says that you're a chote for fasting, is Misha Pagam Be'eza Averikala Ochamura Bevade Tzarech Asagef Atzmo. Anyone that sinned is allowed to cause pain to their body and fat, they got para for that. Many of us may know that in many of the Sfarim, this is more popular, again, writings of Baal Tanya, it really comes from the writings of the Arizal. Baal Tanya elaborates upon this, but it's true in Magen Avraham, quotes in Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah quotes in some Tafkuf Ayin Aleph, I believe, that there really is this idea, certain sins are associated with certain kinds of fast. Mishnah Berurah writes that there are avonos hayaduah mavur birokech uvekis v'ha'ari, how much you have to fast for every sin that you perform. Okay, so those sins, the shlagos, everybody has to do those things. Okay, that would take up, at least for me, not for you, you guys are all very holy, I'd be fasting like 430 days a year if I had to, you know, engage in these kinds of things. Okay. But he says, that of course you could do, you can continue fasting to for your sins until you lose everything. Rather as follows. Shmuel is talking about, when he said you shouldn't sin, when you shouldn't fast, talking about a person who hasn't sinned. Fasting helps purify. If you don't need the purification, okay, then you should benefit from this world. If you need the purification, however, you have to do whatever you can. But Lazar and the Gemara there in Tanya that argue to Shmuel says, even if you're pure of sin, you still have to be fasting. There is still a place to go. And he writes as follows. He says, Aval, Misha, again, there's a little bit more in the Shlana of the places about maybe nowadays are we weaker or not. But he says, Aval Misha Chet Yitztayer V'Yitztayer. If you sin, let's embrace that pain. Kamonu Hayom Babnosenu Harabim Doros Ahem Hamaleim Chatas Neurim V'Zakenim. We live in generations where people are filled with sins of their youth and sins of their old age. V'Af Misha Lo Chata B'Chamuros. Even there are some people that weren't Chote in the most severe of sins. There are a lot of these like sins, like a little lashon hara, really. Sicha betela. You ever have a regular conversation with someone, and it wasn't like Torah based, it was Hashem based, it wasn't necessary for a break in that particular moment. Start fasting, says the Shlach Kadosh. Start fasting. The Shlach, in many ways, if you frame it, views this world in one of two ways. This world is a world that has a lot of wonderful things. And your body is here. If you've kept your body pure, you can more comfortably take advantage of that within this world. If you have not kept your body pure, if you have sinned, so then there's a need to fast to purify your body and to remove engaging in any of the things that are taking place that are taking place here. So the Rambam and the Shlach in many ways are highlighting different extremes. In more modern thought, we talk about where Torah Chassidus is, different places in Torah Chassidus, speak about where it is in some of the Bali Musar. There's a lot of different discussions here. But I want to focus on Tosfos and Rav Dessler, because I think that they are legitimately fascinating. You have a cup on them? Yeah? I wish to eat a cup last night. What's wrong with you?
More fancy or like less fancy?
Less fancy. Less fancy. Okay. Tosfos says something amazing. Tosfos says something like really, really fascinating. Tosfos is in a couple places in the Shas. Tosfos Baba Kama, Tosfos in Tainis, I think Tosfos in Sota also. Tosfos says something which is a very sort of intriguing shita. It's a shita which some of the Achronim don't like that much. We already saw this a little bit with the Shla, who doesn't like it explicitly. Flat seltzer. Amazing.
Okay. I thought that was water.
Yes, it basically is. Tosfos says we have stiras in Chazal, even within the same people. Fasting makes you a sinner, faster makes you a tzaddik. Fast makes you a tzaddik. Which is it? So Tosfos says something like really remarkable. He says, Vade havichote, you're definitely a sinner for fasting. But, fasting is also, depending on when you do it, is also a mitzvah. Bikomakum ha mitzvah shu ose hatainis is gadol yoser min ha'avera mimashu mitzayer atzmo. So Tobas is saying something which is very, very fascinating. Tobas is saying there are cases in general it's a sin to fast, and it's actually always a sin to fast. But there are situations like Haroa Sotev Bekilkula, Yazir Atzam, and Hayayin, where you're commanded to fast. A person should become a Nazir, a person should fast for certain reasons. And that fasting is still an Avera, but the mitzvah of Naziras, the mitzvah of that fast, is greater than the Avera of not fasting. He's in many ways trying to have his cake and eat it too, as they say. Tova is trying to say that it is a sin, but it's also a mitzvah. And the times where Chazal seem to encourage you doing it is because the mitzvah can outweigh the sin which you're doing. So if you decide that you're going to become a Nazir, Haroa Sota Bikakula, it's a Shiloh with some of the Achronim ask, how could Chazal say Haroa Sota Bikakula Yazir Atzam and Ayayin? If I say they'll become a Nazir, isn't one day in Chazal, Nazir is called a Chote? Answer is Tova's, you're right, you are a Chote, but you also have mitzvah to become a Nazir, and the mitzvah to become a Nazir trumps the hate that you get for sinning. As the Gevuras Ari points out there in Tainus, this is very, very odd. It's very, very odd. I would have thought you'd have like an ase do chelos ase type thing here. When it's a mitzvah, the avera goes away. When it's a mitzvah, the fast, there is no sin because the mitzvah is there. Like when a person violates a los ase because of ase do chelos ase, we don't say like do kapara, you sin the los ase. It got removed and pushed away. You're all good to go. But here it sounds like, and says Tovas, I have precedent for this. Because Chazal say, the Gemara is Mesechta Shabbos, if a person in the old days would have a Tainus Chalom. A Tainus Chalom would mean if I woke up in the morning and had a very scary dream about something bad going on, so a person would fast and engage in a Tainus Chalom. We don't really do that nowadays the same way. I think one line they attribute to at least Echad Migdol Yisrael is that our dreams aren't really dreams. Chaz Nish say things like that. Our dreams are because you watched whatever you watched during the day, you spoke about whatever you spoke about, you saw whatever you saw, and our dreams are not a function of a prophetic element, and therefore you have to be nervous when you wake up the next morning. Our dreams are a function of us just the where we are in this world. We're very much influenced by things we speak about and things that we see. I know that's definitely true for me in mornings when I remember what I dreamed about. So then... When that happens, usually it's something that I was thinking about the previous day. For me, at least, I don't know. That's a Chaz Nish. But again, somebody else may be in a different category. The halacha is like this. What happens if I want to have a Tainus Chalom on Shabbos? So there is a mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. So I wake up Shabbos morning, and it was just like, I think I got to fast today. It was one of those kinds of days. So Tovas points out what the Gemara tells us, which is, you could fast on Shabbos, a Tainus Chalom on Shabbos. But you were mevatel. You should fast. I hear that. Got to fast. Good. But you weren't vata onik Shabbos. So even though you should fast, you still violate the sin of onik Shabbos. So you don't have to do? Make it up with another fast day later, during the week. To make up for the fact you fasted on Shabbos. Apparently there's this middle ground kind of an idea where it's like a fasting but not fasting, or it's a mitzvah or an avera. I used to play a game with my children. When they were younger, we'd play the game at Shabbos table, mitzvah, avera, or something in between. It was my way for giving over hashkafas ha'olam. We'd have a good time with it. I would say things, and they have to tell me, do they think it's a mitzvah, do they think it's an avera, or is it something in between? And it's fascinating things that you could, you know, that you could have. They're different kinds of things. So if I would say to them, you know, fasting, Tovas would say, mitzvah, avera, or something in between, they would say, it's not something in between, it's a mitzvah and an avera. Some would say, depends. Some would say depends, like we saw, is it for a sin? Is it once in a while? It's mitzvah and avera. It's very, very odd. What is going on? What is going on here? So Rav Dessler in Chelek Dal of Michtav Melio, in Chelek Hay, he really explains, this sugya in Meseches Tainus. It's in Chelek Hay, it's on page 42. In Chelek Dal, on page 268, he has discussion about the phenomenon in general. So let's try to unpackage where Rav Dessler is. The first thing is as follows. Rav Dessler does not believe that there is one mahalach. Rav Dessler believes ha'inyan hu sheyesh lan shtei madregos. There are different kinds of people, and depending on the kind of person that you are, impacts the kind of a relationship with this world that you are supposed to have. A person who is karov li kashal b'taivos. A person is the kind that's likely to mess up with a variety of different taivas. So that person has to distance himself from this world. If you are weak as far as certain taifas, I know what happens to me. when I go to certain places. I know what happens to me when I engage in certain kinds of environments. So I have to distance myself from those kinds of taivas associated with those particular kinds of environments. But if I'm at the point where I'm not consumed by these taivas, I'm far away from them a little bit, I do have to get a bit close to them, a bit. Why? So for the Rambam, it's because he couched it in terms of middle of the road, healthy balance. Rav Dessler, this I think is true because it comes in Chazal, puts it in the context of Kadesha Yargish Bracha Vehoda Al Hashem Yisbarach Al Hahana Shenasan Lo. It is basic Hakaras Hatov. We spoke last week, I think, as we had it, that Rav Dessler is a huge believer in Chesed of giving, and Hakaras Hatov, meaning Artem Elokim, is that we're givers. Hakaras Hatov is the way in which we give sometimes to someone who's giving to us. I get a great gift. The way I can sort of give back to you is through Hakaras Hatov. Rav Dessler is a huge believer in the power of Hakaras Hatov, the importance of Hakaras Hatov. If Hakaras Hatov is when a friend brings me a cup of water, I should be Makar Tov. So when Ribono Shel Olam gives me a world with a thing called, you know, brisket, so maybe there's a kiyum and some level of Hakaras Hatov to Ribono Shel Olam. That may be what Birch Sanenin in many ways are even driving towards, at least for some Rishonim. It's a way of being Meshabeach to Ribono Shel Olam for that which we get. But there is a tension here. The tension is, and here's the underlying piece, it's all about Avodas Hashem. People that need to refrain from it, you got to refrain from it because the cost of being engaged in taiva is so great, I have to take a step back. People who are not going to fall prey to that, so it's very important to engage in it in order to be able to have a degree of Hakaras Hatov, a degree of Saratov. I would point out what is, I think, a Dover Pashat, which is what is called Ktsas, and what is not called Ktsas is most certainly societally dependent. In a world, I'm very fascinated by some statements of Gedol Yisrael when they invented the refrigerator. Most of us would not call precious not having a fridge. I don't mean in your room. I mean like no access to one in your home. It's a davar pasha that people have fridges, and no one says, like, look at that Baal Taiva bringing in a refrigerator into his home. Oh my gosh, you see him with that fridge? When refrigerators are first invented, though, there is some pushback to that. Do we really need it? Is it really so critical it's necessary to have a fridge? Is it not like an overindulgence? Air conditioning is a great example of that. Is air conditioning really like, is it really so critical? Is it really so helpful? I asked my father once. I was like, when you were growing up, was air conditioning? He's like, not always. I was like, what was it like? People were just like, okay with that? And he's like, no, we're just like deeply uncomfortable all the time. Like, there's no reason why we don't adjust better to sweat than they used to. Like, they're just uncomfortable with it. Like, I don't know why there'd be like a Havamina. It's like, I don't know. It's like things like that. Like my wife has this all the time. She's from Montreal. Like, oh, so you're probably really good with the cold. It's like, I hate the cold. But you're from Montreal. And it was hard for me. Like, you don't get trained in, we're not, the whole warm-blooded, cold-blooded thing, like, it doesn't work that way with humans. Like, a lot of snow and frost, but it's cold. It's cold. Oh, you're from Florida, so you've had the summers there? Yeah, you probably just love the heat. No, I love air conditioning. Like, it doesn't work that way the same way. But certain things certainly shift based on society and where we are. What's called ktsas, what's not called ktsas. What's called appropriate, what's not called appropriate. What's called bring me into a world consumed with taiva, and what's not. We can all understand that there may be some very real differences based on society and where we are. Rav Dessler understands that this complex approach of one that understands, I don't want to be consumed with taiva, but I also want to have a karas of Ribono Shel Olam, in Chelek Hei, in many ways becomes the Pesach understanding Tovus is, it's a mitzvah and it's an aveira. Says Rav Dessler like this, HaKol Modem Shavali Bittul HaYesh Olam Haza, Iyesh Yos Ovesham Be'emes. If you don't have a little bit of bittul towards the physicalities of this world, you can't really be an authentic Ovid Hashem. If I'm fully consumed in materialism, I'm fully consumed in Gashmias, I will not really be able to have a real and authentic Ovid Hashem. Everyone agrees to that. But I also have an element of HaKadosh Baruch Hu put me in this world. And HaKadosh Tov Tzvi Bono Shalom is royally Hanos Gamba Olam Hasa. I can have pleasure in this world because Baruch Hu put me here. It helps in that underlying mida, because which for Dessler is not a stam mida, it's a foundational mida of being able to be makir, of being able to be makir tov. And in that sense, there's always going to be a little bit of tension taking place in different scenes between not wanting to be too consumed and embracing a world of taiva and understanding that ruchni is what's more significant. Understanding that Baruch Hu also gave us a world of gashmi, and have to be makar tov for that and benefit from it. And striking the balance between ruchni as being the ikker, but gashmi as being here, not for the Rambam's middle approach, but also for my own form of hakar satov. In Torah Chassidus, I think it's even more extreme than in Torah Chassidus. It's really about the kedusha, which is found within the food in many ways, which is not... For now, we can have to talk about it at a different time for those that are inclined. But there's definitely something, I think, incredibly valuable here. We live in a world which is, and this is an important point, which is always evolving and changing as far as even the standards or expectations of what materialism and comfort looks like. Of what it looks like. That's the reality of 25 years ago. Rich last night was talking about a world of Nokia phones and playing the game Snake on it. It was a god awful game that people would play. It wasn't exciting. It was a different scene. And the world has moved the same way that largely over the last 100 years or so, the world has gotten more comfortable. The standards have risen, and that's presumably a wonderful thing. The tension is always going to be one which exists. For the Shla Kadosh, when it comes to like purifying sins. So then for the Shla, okay, got to fast a little bit. We don't do that nowadays, really. That's for, in many, many Sfarim. We don't do that nowadays the same way, but that's highlighting a particular kind of model. For the Rambam, it's about a healthy kind of balance that a person has to have for a degree of normalcy and health and midos, which ultimately allows a person for Rambam to be more developed intellectually and to be more successful. There's a middle ground here for Dessler of experiencing a degree of balance and where that falls out. I'll just end by pointing out there's a lot of fascinating Torah in the Bir Halacha, already in Shulchan Aruch, quoting from some earlier Makoros, the Mishnah Halachos, Rav Menashe Klein, Zichron Levracha, and the Tshuva, in his Tshuva Mishnah Halachos, about whether Talmidei Hachamim and Bnei Yeshiva are different, and if so, in what direction. There are certainly those that appear to argue that Talmidei Yeshiva should be engaging much less in things like fasting because of the physical strength that they need to be able to learn well, and that there's a concern that more fasting will detract from their capacity to focus as much on Torah learning. And there's some pushback about that. Maybe they can focus more on Ruchnias and therefore don't have to be as consumed by it. Some really, really fascinating Torah, but it's a lot of fundamental ideas here in Odessa about our relationship to this world and we relate to it. I hope everybody is doing well and has a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos in Yerushalayim.